Hi everyone, and welcome to Mindful, a site for exploration of niche topics in neuroscience. On today's episode, we will be discussing empathy in animals. You heard me, animals like rodents can show empathy. You might be thinking how this might be or what this even means. Well, first, what is empathy? Empathy, not to be confused with sympathy, is the ability to understand or feel what someone else is experiencing. It involves having an appropriate emotional reaction in response to other people's emotions, and it is important when interacting with others. Empathy is when you get sad watching someone else get hurt. Now let's discuss the brain during empathic responses. When humans experience empathy, the visual cortex is activated, as well as the insula, which integrates sensory information and is important for self-awareness. The anterior cingulate cortex, which is associated with decision-making and impulse control, is also activated. Observing another person's action, pain, or affect appears to trigger parts of the same neural networks responsible for executing those actions and feeling the experience firsthand. Empathy involves both bottom-up, automatic neural processes as well as top-down processes. Bottom-up processes account for direct emotion sharing, which is automatically activated, unless inhibited, by perceptual input. Then, high-up executive functions in the prefrontal and cingulate cortex regulate emotion through selective attention and self-regulation. These top-down regulations modulate lower levels and make the individual less dependent on external cues. You may be thinking, well, I know some people who definitely don't have empathy, so what is their brain doing? This question may be answerable through a study carried out by Christian Kazers of the Netherlands Institute for Neuroscience in Amsterdam, which examined brain activity in psychopaths during an empathy task. The researchers found that when psychopaths passively observed someone inflicting pain on someone else, they had significantly less brain activity than neurotypical people. This may not be surprising, but the interesting finding was this. When psychopathic individuals were asked to empathize with the person in the video, their brain activity actually increased to baseline levels. So it is not that psychopaths don't have the ability to empathize, it is just that they may not recruit this ability spontaneously. In other words, they lack the motivation to empathize. You may also be wondering, what extent do we experience others' suffering? Well, there are both emotional and cognitive responses to empathy. Emotional empathy consists of three components: feeling the same as another, feeling distress in response to perceiving another's suffering, and feeling compassion for another. It is important to note that while some people feel distress while someone else is suffering, they're not in the same physical pain. Cognitive empathy is less understood, but it refers to a human's ability to recognize and understand others' emotional states as a way to process emotions and behavior. As a result, brain regions involved in emotion processing and learned conceptual reasoning are important in developing empathic responses. There are some important sex differences in empathy. For one, females are faster and more accurate than males in recognizing facial expressions and bodily emotions, like identifying actions as happier, sadder, or angrier. And males are faster and better at recognizing angry locomotion of females. And females are better and faster at recognizing angry locomotion of males, which is consistent with evolutionary mating goals. These sex differences in empathy may indicate that sexual selection could have rendered males more sensitive to females' social positive signals in the context of mating and sexual behavior. The ability of males to detect positive emotions in females may allow males to gauge female interest in mating opportunities. And then females being more accurate in reading emotions through body language could improve the emotional quality of their partner by improving his paternal care capacity and sensitivity to the women and child's needs. These differences raise the possibility that different natural selection pressures acted upon different neural circuits in order to sustain abilities that support reproduction. Now, what about empathy in animals? Finally, a discussion of what might be the most unfamiliar information to you out of all the information in this podcast. I asked some people I know if they believe animals have empathy, and I found that 14 out of 16 of them agree that they do. Importantly, most of the people that agreed have at least one pet of their own. An example of measurable empathy in animals is that chimpanzees can exhibit empathy-based contagious yawning with familiar and unfamiliar humans and familiar chimpanzees in a study carried out by Campbell and DeWall in 2014. Contagious yawning was not seen when chimps viewed videos of outgroup chimps or Galeta baboons, which are an unfamiliar species to them. The findings of the study suggest that contagious yawning is socially modulated, and chimps do not need to know the yawning individual to show contagion, but the yawning individuals need to belong to a species with which the chimps have a history of positive social interactions. Also, rodents, despite being lower class animals, show empathy too. In a study conducted at UChicago, several scientists found that when a pair of rats were put in a cage together, one allowed to roam and the other restrained in a clear tube, most rats learned how to release the door to set the restrained rat free. The rats would only do this when there was a real living rat in the tube, since this behavior was not exhibited if a toy rat was restrained in the tube. Also, free rats share their favorite food with the restrained rat. Specifically, when rats were presented with two restrainers, one with a restrained rat inside and another with five chocolate chips, free rats opened the restrainers in no consistent order and allowed the newly freed companion 1.5 chocolate chips on average, when they could have had all of the chocolate chips to themselves. I will now play a clip of Franz DeWall, the biologist who published a study on empathy in chimps that I spoke about before, speaking on the origins of empathy across species.
So basically now our conclusion is that the empathy of the rodent, and probably also the chimpanzee and the human, is all basically neurologically identical. It's the same process. And the origin of empathy, we think, is maternal care. So in all the mammals, maternal care is obligatory. And if whether you're an elephant or a mouse, if your offspring is distressed, you need to respond. If they're cold or hungry or in danger, you need to respond to their emotional signals. And that's also why females have more of it than males. That's also why oxytocin is very much involved in it. So all of that fits together with the idea of maternal care being the origin of empathy.
These findings are not only fascinating, but they suggest that we may be able to use animals to study behaviors that many have deemed as uniquely human. Because empathy is exhibited across many species, this tells us that acting on empathic feelings is a neurobiological mandate that is beneficial in mating and reproductive behaviors and navigating social situations. If you're going to take anything away from this podcast, it's that maybe we ought to give animals more credit, and that you should go love your pet. Since they have empathy, they'll probably appreciate it.